Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Jim Cobray.
After all these years of preaching the gospel, I find myself from time to time listening to, obviously, stories from people. I've heard all kinds of stories. I've heard good stories and bad stories, good testimonies and bad testimonies. I've seen lives blossom and lives grow and lives be healed and strengthened. I've seen wonderful things and people prosper, families prosper, children's prospering, ministries prospering, their businesses prospering. And I've also seen the other side of the scale. I've seen the failures and the discouragements and the frustrations. I've seen people give up on God, not go and have anything to do with God at all. I used to think it was my fault, but I realized they weren't giving up on me, they were giving up on God. And I often questioned as a young pastor when I was young, how come? Why do people act the way they do? Why is it that some people prosper, are healthy, successful, have great marriages? Children serve the Lord, and some don't. When both of them are Christians, they can both be Christians, the one that doesn't get anything and the one that gets everything. Why is that, God? Do you care more about some people than you do other people? And I found out that God is not a God of partiality. He doesn't care one way or the other. He wants to, from his side and perspective, wants to bless each and every one of you in a maximum way. But I also found out it takes something on our part also to walk into the blessings of the Lord. It's not just happens because you're a Christian. It's not happening because you say you love God. Why is it that I could say I love God and I have a relationship with God, but I don't get blessed like others get blessed? Why is that? And the truth we're going to find out tonight, the reason for it. Recently, a great man, and I think he's a great man, the Pope, was in our country. And don't misunderstand me, I think he's a great man. And he made a statement, which is a great statement. He said, have a great personal relationship with Jesus. I thought, man, that's great to hear the Pope say that. You know, he didn't say with Mother Mary or Paul the Apostle or the saints or anybody else. He was talking about Jesus. I was thrilled to hear that. And he said, live your life in love. And I thought, man, how great is that? How simple is that? And then I stopped and thought about it. And when I was thinking about it, you see, I could live my life loving Jesus and never have anything, never get blessed. I could have a personal relationship with Jesus and never attain any of God's blessings. So making the statement, have a personal relationship with Jesus, you know, just love him and live your life in love, doesn't go far enough with what the scripture says for us to do as Christians. You see, I could love Jesus on a golf course, don't have to be in church. I could love Jesus out on a sailboat, don't have to be in church. I can love Jesus and do my own thing and never do his thing. The problem with that is Jesus makes a statement like this. Listen to this. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So when he says, just love Jesus, I go, yes, amen. But there's a deeper call to the Christian than just loving Jesus. Because I could love him my own way and get nowhere. I could love him in my own world, doing my own thing, and never do his thing and never really express love. But Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. He says these words also, which are bizarre words, that if you're going to follow me, pick up your cross and follow me. And if you're not, then you're not going to be blessed. In other words, you're not worthy. He makes that statement. The other day, not too long ago, in a Bible college class, a pretty young girl in the class asked this question. After my classes, I try to leave them open for questions and answers. She said, well, this is kind of off the subject of your class, but I'm tired of being used by people. I'm tired of, you know, giving everything and getting nothing back from people. They just use me up. How does it stop that? And the answer would be normally, oh, well, let's pray. Or maybe let's bind the devil. Or let's pray for these. I mean, that would be the standard answer. But is that the right answer? Let me tell you something. The right answer to how you stop doing something that's not prospering in your life is to become mature enough to understand the ways of the Lord in comparison to the contrary ways of this world. And so what I'm saying to you is simply this, is that there's a road that God wants each one of us to follow in order to get blessed. And the road is a road to maturity. And really that's our subject tonight, is the road to maturity. Because when you're mature, you don't make bad decisions. When you're mature, you don't just do what you feel. When you're mature, you don't do what the other people say you should do, but you know exactly what God says. May I describe maturity to you? Maturity is not being around the church for a long time. There's a lot of people that are not mature. They could be leaders of churches. They could quote scripture. They could gather together the multitudes. They could preach and pray for the sick and still themselves be immature in their lifestyles. Tonight, the road to maturity is so simple, but for all of us, it'll keep you from stumbling, falling, and failing. It'll keep you from making bad decisions with people that will hurt you, or bad business decisions when it's not right. Maturity will keep you from making the wrong choices to make the right, godly choices. I'm going to say something and I'll back it up with the Word of God later on. Listen to this. Not everything that's good to you is good for you. Not everything that's good to you is God. And there's a difference between what is godly and what is good. And only in the place of maturity do you see the difference between what is good, listen to this, and what is godly. Yeah. And it's in those places that you make the right choices. Has anybody ever married the wrong person? You know what? Don't raise your hand in case the pirate is next to you. But you know what I'm talking about if you've gone through divorce. You know, and you thought, oh my goodness, it was God. Have you ever said, oh, God loved God with all my heart, but I know this is a God thing, and I started a business, and it failed. And it wasn't a God thing at all. And you let somebody into your life that you shouldn't have let into your life. Only through maturity will you discern the difference between what's good and what is God. Now, maybe you don't know this, but the job of a church is not to sing songs, not to tell you how much God loves you, or even tell you how wonderful God is, even though he is all of those things. When we do that, in 99% of most churches in America, they'll tell you how much he loves you, talk about how great he is, but it really never does anything for you becoming mature. The job of the church is twofold. Here's the job of every church that should be on the planet today. Here's what a church should do. Win souls and make mature converts. Maturity is not age. Maturity is the ability to function under the direction of God. And when you do not function under the direction of God, then you're listening to everything else. You're listening to your emotions, your feelings, your mission, your ideology. Somebody comes along, makes a statement to you. It sounds real good. He tied it together with two or three truthful statements, but he made also a false statement, and you didn't pick up the false statement because you only picked up on the truthful statement. And all of a sudden, you're deceived, and you find out, and you get mad at God because it doesn't work out for you, when in fact, the job is for each and every one of us is to get mature. That's what this is all about. That's why every time we come into the house of God, it isn't just a time of eating tacos and having fun in the courtyard. Every one of you show up for that. But guess what? We come into the house of God and we learn the ways of the Lord so we can be mature and do what God tells us to do. Now, I want to take you to Ephesians, the fourth chapter, a verse that a lot of us are very familiar with, Ephesians, the fourth chapter, but maybe sometimes we need to review some things. In verse number 11, Jesus makes a statement about how and what he wants for you personally. Now, listen to this. Some of you said, oh, okay, Jesus, what do you want me to do in life? Okay, Jesus, if you just tell me, I'll do it. I mean, you love him enough that you would do what he wants you to do. Is that right? And so you've said that to him, Jesus, but I don't hear your voice. I don't know what you want me to do. Well, guess what? Now he's going to speak to you tonight. Are you listening? He's going to speak to you tonight by the word of God. So this is for those of you that have always wondered what Jesus wants for you. Is that okay? Now watch this in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, starting in verse number 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles. Notice the capital H and the capital H in the word himself, speaking of God, speaking of Jesus. He himself gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. And then you say, okay, now there's the gifts, some pastors, teachers, prophets, evangelists. They're all in the church. They're all operating inside the church. What for did he give them? Watch this next verse. In the next verse, it says, first of all, for the equipping of the saints. By the way, if you're born of the Spirit of God, that's you. You're a saint. I don't care. We don't canonize individual people. We don't hang people around our neck. We don't do that. A saint in the scripture happens to be somebody who's born of the Spirit of God. You're a child of God. Can you imagine something? I know you're thinking to yourself that's difficult because you don't act like a saint sometimes. Well, neither does pastor. So guess what? We're in the same boat, and we're learning together how to be mature. Is anybody listening? So sometimes we don't act like saints, but nevertheless, because of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and his grace, we are saints anyway. And it says equipping the saints. In other words, God's not going to let you do something unless you're ready to do it. And guess what? I don't tell my kids I want you to go out and drive an automobile unless I equip them with the knowledge on how to drive an automobile. That's what God is saying right here. So all of a sudden here these pastors are given to you, teachers are given to you, prophets and evangelists are given to you to build up the body of Christ. Watch this, to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. Who does the work of the ministry? You do. But you don't do the work of the ministry until you're mature enough to do the work of the ministry. We'll follow that in just a moment. Listen closely. For the edifying, see the word edifying up there? Look at the word edifying. Everybody say edifying. The word edifying means the building up, means the strengthening, means the encouraging. So God gives pastors, evangelists, prophets, all of these apostles for some reason to equip you and to build you up to a place of what? Maturity. Let's check it out, verse, if you will, in verse number 13. In verse number 13, till we all come into the unity of faith and until all of us are believing one thing about Jesus Christ and of the knowledge of the Son of God, and we all come into a, listen to this, to a perfect man. All of us together become one, and we, guess what, become perfect. You know the word perfect means up there, mature. Mature. Can you believe that? It's translated perfect. Same word translated perfect, same word translated mature. You'll all come into a mature man to the measure and stature to the fullness of Christ. Wow, it's so powerful. And then it goes on in verse number 14, I didn't put up there, should no longer be children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. In other words, God's not interested in you staying a child A child comes along and says, I love God, and I don't understand why God's not on my side. And I pray and I get no answers, and my family doesn't do the right things, and we're just making a mess of ourselves. And how come some people get saved and get blessed, and I don't? I got saved. I'm not even saved. Maybe I'm not even saved. They got saved. Oh, you know what I'm talking about. And the whole reason is all of this until you come into the edification, until you come into a place of maturity. So you should be going to a church that's going to teach you how to become mature and do the work of God. Is anybody listening? Now, there are three things that God gave me about, and I love this subject, about the road to maturity. Three things, simple things. Three things, if you'll remember to do these three things in your growth for maturity, they'll work in your life. Number one is the word discernment. Just write it down. Write down this word, put it in your thoughts, put it in your iPhones, put it on your iPads. The word discernment is a great word. That means your ability to determine what is and what isn't. Your ability to see what is and what isn't. Your ability to, the light shines and darkness, because light shine has to retreat. Now, I may have made a big statement there. Let me say it again for some of you that didn't hear it. The light shines and darkness has to retreat and you see it. Now, wait a minute. When you open up your closet door, that closet may not have a light on it inside. The darkness doesn't flood into the bedroom where the light's on. The light floods into the dark closet. Light overcomes darkness. And in your thinking, when the light of God overcomes the darkness in your life, you have now got discernment. And it's so important for us to get a hold of this. I had a guy one time was in my church, and you know, I'll just tell you the truth. I was gonna hold back because the kids were in here, but I'm not gonna hold back. I'm just gonna tell you, if the kids are in here, I told you to take them to the church. It is adult service, you know what I mean? This guy was a head usher at our old church. We started in Lake Arrowhead, Lake Arrowhead Christian Fellowship, many, many years ago when Debbie and I were just kids. Can you believe that? And I'm doing so well, I can remember those days. And so, we were just kids. And this guy was a head usher. And he'd come off drugs, and he had, and his wife had come off drugs, and their kids were happy, and they got saved. And they were just thrilled. I'll never forget the family. And then the guy goes on vacation. Things are going so good. His business starts to prosper. He starts to get successful. He starts to get free of drugs. His family's together. They're having barbecues. They're having a great time. They're fishing together. They decide, well, you know, business has been so good. We'll just save up our money. And we'll just go on vacation. They go on vacation. And they're out having dinner. And they said, things are so good. You know, we've given up the drugs and everything. We just have, you know, a little glass of wine. You know, when you're a drug addict, you don't touch anything. You know, if you think you can do a little dabble, do you? You know, and you'll just get by. You ain't going to get by if you're a drug addict. Drug addicts, any kind of addict, you've got to cut it off, period. You know what I mean? Pluck out the eye before it drives you to hell. And so, you know, or eliminate the hand, but you're gonna have to stop, and that's the way it is. And so they decided, I'll never forget this, decided, and I'm not against having a glass of wine or anything like that. I don't drink, neither does Debbie, but yet, you know, I'm not sitting here saying don't do that. I'm just saying because of where they came from, they should never have done that. They had a glass of wine at dinner that night, had a great night, and then had another glass of wine. Then the music in the next room started up and there was dancing. He said, hey, let's go dancing. They went next door and went from the wine to a little bit of booze, started dancing. Then somebody came over to his table, said, you want to dance to him? And he said, well, and someone came to her and they started dancing with other people. Before the night was over, they end up in the sack with other people. You know what I mean by in the sack? You know, that's what you used to do. Remember when you used to wake up the next morning and say, oh my God, I slept with Godzilla last night. He looked pretty good after five of them. And you felt terrible about yourself and all that kind of stuff. They woke up the next morning And sure enough, they were back on drugs. Ruined the entire family. The kids went off to war. One kid went off into the military and died. Family was divorced. Everything went down the line because they did not discern properly what they should have done in a situation. And they did what they thought they could get away with, and they couldn't get away with it. Let me say something to you. Discernment is vitally important to understand what the difference is between what you're thinking and feeling and what God says. And it's a key to maturity. In fact, take a look at it with me, if you will. You know where the book of Hebrews is? Do you know where that is, by any chance? It ought to just fall open. In fact, the pages probably ought to fall out by now. In the fifth chapter of Hebrews, notice what it says, if you will. Let's take a look at the fifth chapter of Hebrews. And it says this at the end. Here is God speaking. And he's speaking through the writer of Hebrews to these believers. And he's saying to the believers, you by now should know better. You should be eating meat. Instead, you have to drink milk like a little baby. And he says, I've got great things to share with you. Those great things will take you to a new level and bring you into the blessings that you want, but you can't handle them. And then he makes this statement in verse number 11 of the fifth chapter. He says, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing, not sharp. Watch this. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need of someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. Verse 13, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. Anybody who's a baby is unskillful in the word of righteousness. Anybody that's a child is unskillful in the word of righteousness. Anybody that's a baby is unskillful in the words of righteousness. Anybody that's a baby is unskillful in the words of righteousness. Anybody that's a baby is unskillful in the words of righteousness. In other words, you got to get this. In order for you to not be a baby, you got to be skillful in the word of God. And then he goes on and he makes this statement, but watch the statement that he makes. Fifth chapter again, listen closely. He says, unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Verse 14, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age. Full age means mature. In other words, God has something he wants to do with you. God has something he wants to share with you. God wants to take you further than you ever thought of in your life. But until you're mature enough to handle it, you'll never get there. You will make bad decisions and bad choices, and you always need to have the milk and never the good, because you haven't become skillful using the word of God in a situation that you know is coming up. When I found out the lights went out, I mean, come on, give me a break. 10 minutes before the church service starts, how obvious is that? You know, I did perspire a little bit because I was the guy that put the solar system on the roof, and someone said, oh, it blew up and caught the building on fire. That's the report I got. I went, oh my goodness. And then I'm saying to myself, God, all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. I have to tell you, God, did I burn down your church? Oh my goodness, God. But yes, all things work together for the good of them, love the Lord, call courage. All things work together. I kept my mind. I'm using the word of righteousness against something that's contrary to what I believe is right. Now watch this. Watch this. This is so much fun. Watch this. It gets better. Watch this. He says, verse 13, for everyone who is a partaker only of milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. His solid food belongs to those who are full age. Is those who by reason of use, speaking of the word of righteousness, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So when the lights went out 10 minutes before the church service, immediately I said, devil, I won't tell you what I said. Someone says, I saw a t-shirt the other day, it says, I love Jesus, I cuss every now and then. You know, I told him off. I don't want to say it to you, but he understood what I was talking about. I was speaking his language. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, he made up those words. He got them right back. And I immediately discerned that it was not of God. And the skillfulness, the righteousness of God is very important for us to be righteous. Listen, if you want something, you want that husband to come along, you want to find the right man or the right woman, if you want your children to grow, isn't it important that you do something about this? Do you want to have that business? Do you want to prosper? Do you want to be successful? Do you want to be on this planet just getting by? Or do you want to be above all of that and making things work so dynamically that the whole world sits back and looks at you and says, oh my goodness, what has happened to you? And you say, Jesus has happened to me, you know, and then you can witness to them. If you want that, you got to get this, because if you don't get this, you're going to sit around, go like this, oh, bless me, preacher, bless me so I can get blessed if I just throw water and blow smoke on you. It doesn't work that way. Stand in front of you all day long, go like this, bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you, bless your dog, bless your cat, bless your neighbor, bless your relative, bless your bed, bless you. Won't help it one bit until you and I get to the place where we use the righteous word of God, discerning what is, listen to this, what is good and what is evil. I mean, I'm sorry if I offended you, but it's true. Listen to what, there's this guy named Solomon in the Bible. He's the son of David. David's really cool. King David's the greatest king Israel has ever known. He has a son named Solomon, and he's going to take his place. It's just amazing to me. This is a young man going to take this dynamic, millions of people he's going to be over as King Solomon, David's son. And God says to Solomon, Solomon, I'll give you whatever you want. Whatever it is you want, I'll give you. Listen, 99% of you said, if God said that to me, how about, let's start with a Bentley convertible. Let's start with a new house on the hill. I can do anything I want, have it. How about, wardrobe, and we'd go through all the stuff, giant bank accounts, all that stuff. He doesn't say any of that. God says to him, what do you want? And he makes a statement. I want to take you to 1 Kings, if I may, in the third chapter. I want to read it to you because we're talking about discernment. And what he asked for in 1 Kings, the third chapter, is absolutely amazing for this young man who's got the responsibility of all of the millions of people on him, and he doesn't know how to do what he needs to do. 1 Kings, the third chapter, verse number 9 says it like this. Therefore, give to your servant. That's me. That means me, Solomon, he's talking about. He's talking to God. He calls himself a servant. An understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. Now, wait a minute. Haven't we heard that already? That whoever is skilled in the word of righteousness discerns, because he has a senses condition to understand what is good and what is evil. Oh my goodness. And what he asked for was not the goods. He wanted the ability to discern. Why? He said, God, make me mature enough to understand your people, understand you, and make the decision. And God was so impressed with his answer. If you keep reading, you will find out that God gave him all the other stuff that he didn't even ask for. Wealth, money, prestige, honor, fortune, fame, everything. He says, because you asked for what? To discern the difference between good and evil. And who is able to judge your great people of yours? I need to be able to discern it. Amen. Guys, discernment is the most important part. Discernment isn't deciding just what you feel or what you like. Discernment is something that you do by applying, recognizing the situation and applying the word of righteousness to it. And when you do, you leave it at that and God goes to work on your behalf. Second thing, we're talking about the road to maturity. The second thing that I found out in life is not only discernment, like I just shared with you out of those two verses. The second thing is a lot harder. It's called application. In other words, I can discern the difference between good and evil and never do anything about it. I can learn the Word of God so that I can preach it, know the Greek, know the Hebrew, understand the whole thing, and never do anything about it. I have got to take the discernment between good and evil and practice it and do it. And it's called application. An application for your mature acts in life, that means the activity that you do in life, takes place in three arenas. The first is God. The second is in an application to others. And the third is yourself, or self. The hardest of all three of them, it's not God doing it before God. It's not doing it for others. It's dealing with yourself. Because that's the battle of the flesh and the spirit, which a lot of people don't understand. Somewhere along the line, when you have the word of righteousness and you start applying it to the situation in your life because you have discerned properly what is of God and what isn't of God, somewhere along the line, you now have to deal with who's the boss of your life. Your flesh or the spirit. Sometimes when the spirit ministers to you, it's crazy. It does not make sense. The devil said, "You just burned the church down. You blew up the whole building and it's gonna, people are gonna go on the roof now and get electrocuted." I said, "My God, it's dark out. They're not even working right now." That's what I dealt with. And God spoke to me and said, "Laugh." That was the foolish thing to do. I started laughing. Before I picked Dan up and brought him, I was laughing. "Devil, you are such a dumb liar. God's in control of this whole thing." Now, wait a minute. In a situation where you just thought you burned the church down right before you're going to preach, couldn't get any worse, right? He says to laugh. Now, I want to share something with you. Go with me to 1 Corinthians. In fact, let's just pop it up on the overhead, the second chapter. In 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. And I want to read this to you because out of the Word of God, it makes a statement in verse 14 about you. It says this, "But the natural man," that's your flesh, that's your carnal, that's your thinking, that's your feelings, that's your attitude towards life, that's who you are, the natural physical man. "The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit, for they are foolish to him." Man, don't you think when God said start laughing, it was foolish to me? Totally contrary. So many of you are in situations and you end up crying instead of laughing. If your God is really in control, if he's not, then you better start crying. But if he really is in control, it's a laugh. Okay, I screwed up. Okay, I made a mistake. Okay, I did wrong. But I have good news for you. God picks up the pieces. He loves me. He'll lift me back up. And when I fall, I'll even fall forward. I don't fall back. I fall forward. I'm going on with God. I learned that lesson. But my natural man doesn't receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish to him, nor can they know them because they are spiritually, what's that word? They are spiritually what? I didn't hear you at all. Are we in church together or not? Let's try this side over here. They are spiritually what? Oh my goodness. Back to point number one. Spiritually discern. When you spiritually discern the situation that you're in and you deal with that situation with the righteousness of God's word, you win. Period. Now look at this. Here's the fun part about that. That's cool, but go with me to Galatians. Now you're in Corinthians, go back to 2 Corinthians, and the next book after 2 Corinthians, you'll find is a wonderful text, if you will, of Galatians. Go Galatians, right behind 2 Corinthians. In the fifth chapter of Galatians, now listen to this word, verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Has the flesh ever told you it's good? And you thought it was God because it was good? We have all felt that way. Are you kidding me? If it's good and it feels good, it must be God. Not true. And you need to know that. He says, walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Verse 17 comes along, makes this statement, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another so that you cannot do the things that you wish to do. So if you're wanting to do something, all of a sudden there's a conflict, and the conflict is not with God. Conflict's not with others. Usually the conflict is in you. And you're going to have to decide, is it your flesh that's going to tell you what to do? Or are you going to listen and discern spiritually whether it's the Spirit you're going to follow? Who is the boss of your feelings? Come on, somebody. I mean, that's a big question. Who's the boss of your feelings? And there'd be, in order to be spiritually discerning, which was back to point number one, and to use the word of righteousness by discerning what is of God and what isn't of God, against it, you're going to have to be in tune with the Spirit, and your flesh is going to have to get out of the way. Now, I want to just slaughter some sacred cows. You know, so many times we argue with ourselves, oh, I got to have it. I want it. I want it. And there's this little voice on the inside says, no, don't eat it. I got to have that piece of pie. Don't eat it. You've eaten 16 pieces already. Don't eat that piece of pie. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Hey, listen, I know what I'm talking about up there. And you say, oh my goodness. And there's this voice, this still small voice on the inside that says, don't do it. And it just, you want to do it and you just do it. You just missed out. You say, how could anything that tastes that good not be of God? Here's how the proof is. Stand on the scale and weigh for yourself whether it was God or not God. Is that not true? And you know, for a lot of us, we just talk ourselves into stuff. There's an interesting verse that I found fascinating in James, the first chapter, right behind the book of Hebrews, in James, the first chapter, and I'm finishing in just a moment, if you'll give me just a few minutes more. Is that okay? James, first chapter, verse 17 says it like this. For every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of light, of whom there is no variance or shadow of turning. Now, I don't know if you read it the way I read it, but let me read it to you the way it should be read. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from God. Now, watch this. He did not say, He did not say every good gift is from God. He said every good and perfect gift. And there's a difference between good and perfect. And there's a difference between good and God. And God's not ever looking for good. He's always looking for godly. And when you take the good, listen to this, and you add the godly to it, now you got the perfect gift. And a lot of times we stop at the good because it feels good. It's what we want. It's what we desire. It's what we think we need to have in order to be successful. When in fact, we stop looking for the perfect, which is the godly. Is anybody listening? Yes. So we're talking about application. The application here is you're going to have to decide who's boss of your flesh and who's the Spirit. Because the Spirit and the flesh aren't going to work together. In order for you to discern, you're going to have to discern by hearing from God, the Spirit. And oftentimes what you hear from God is contrary to what you feel. And therefore, you just act on what you feel, and you wonder why you don't get anything. Because if God blesses you, if you just act on what you feel, then you would always stay in a feeling mold instead of a spiritual mold. And you'd fail. Third thing God says about the road to maturity. First one, do you remember what it was? Discernment. Second one is what? Application. Application means you got to do it not only to God, not only to others, but you got to carry out what you discern in yourself and deal with that flesh. That flesh doesn't rule you. Who's the boss of your flesh? Third one is this, and I love this. The road to maturity is ministry. In other words, when I discern something and I properly apply something, now I'm ready for ministry. If I discern something, don't properly apply something, I'm not mature enough for ministry. That's why you're all caught up with people who preach, people who can quote the scripture, debate the scripture, sing songs, do all that stuff. You follow them all around the world, and they don't have the discerning power to minister because they haven't applied it yet to their own life. And if you can't do it, then get out of the kitchen until you can. And that's what a lot of times we miss, is that before ministry, so does God want you to minister? Of course. He wants your life to shine. But your life can't shine until you learn how to take the road to maturity. And it takes time. Learning what God says, because it's usually contrary to what you feel, contrary to what you think, contrary to what your parents told you, contrary to what politicians tell you. It's usually contrary to what the world says, contrary to what the Supreme Court decides. It's contrary. It's foolish. And we don't discern it properly. We never apply it properly, but we're always ready to minister. Ministry comes when you're mature enough that you can give it out to God, to others, and yourself. Now you become the witness God wants you to be. In Matthew, the fifth chapter, go there with me quickly. We'll close with this. Matthew, the fifth chapter. We're talking about a road to maturity. Three simple steps. Discernment, application, and ministry. Matthew, the fifth chapter, it says these words, the words of Jesus. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how does the salt lose its flavor? All of a sudden, the salt didn't have discernment in what was right of God and what wasn't of God. It became impotent in its ability to be the salt. Loses its flavor. How shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled under the feet of men, because it's lost what it had by doing what the flesh says instead of what the Spirit says. Verse 14, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Does Jesus want us to shine the light? Come on. Verse 15, watch this. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under the basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Verse 16, let your light so shine before men, watch this, that they may see your discernment of what is good and bad, good works, and glorify your Father in heaven. If you want to be the witness, then work at being mature, and your life will witness with just who you are. And the world will come knocking at your door, trying to find out who you are. Three things tonight. Discernment. You got to work on it. It's different than what you think, because then it comes application. dealing with your flesh about the yeses and nos of life, what's right, what's wrong, using the word of righteousness, and is skilled at it. And then thirdly, get out and let your light shine so that people will know that God is on you. And God will do a great and mighty thing. Come on, if the Lord spoke to you tonight and you receive it, give the Lord a great big praise. Will you do that?
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.